الأولى فلولا تذكرون أفرأيتم ما تحرثون أأنتم تزرعونه أم نحن الزارعون لو نشاء لجعلناه حطاما فظلتم تفكهون إنا لمغرمون بل نحن محرومون أفرأيتم الماء الذي تشربون أأنتم أنزلتموه من المزن أم نحن المنزلون لو نشاء جعلناه أجاجا فلولا تشكرون أفرأيتم النار التي تورون أأنتم أنشأتم شجرتها أم نحن المنشئون نحن جعلناها تذكرة ومتاعا للمقوين فسبح باسم ربك العظيم فلا أقسم بمواقع النجوم وإنه لقسم لو تعلمون عظيم إنه لقرآن كريم في كتاب مكنون لا يمسه إلا المطهرون تنزيل من رب العالمين أفبهذا الحديث أنتم مدهنون وتجعلون رزقكم أنكم تكذبون فلولا إذا بلغت الحلقوم وأنتم حينئذ تنظرون ونحن أقرب إليه منكم ولكن لا تبصرون فلولا إن كنتم غير مدينين ترجعونها إن كنتم صادقين فأما إن كان من المقربين فروح وريحان وجنة نعيم وأما إن كان من أصحاب اليمين فسلام لك من أصحاب اليمين وأما إن كان من المكذبين الضالين فنزل من حميم وتصلية جحيم إن هذا لهو حق اليقين فسبح باسم ربك العظيم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا وقعت الواقعة ليس لوقعتها كاذبة خافضة رافعة إذا رجت الأرض رجا وبست الجبال بسا فكانت هباء منبثا وكنتم أزواجا ثلاثة فأصحاب الميمنة ما أصحاب الميمنة وأصحاب المشأمة ما أصحاب المشأمة والسابقون السابقون أولئك المقربون في جنات النعيم ثلة من الأولين وقليل من الآخرين على سرر موضونة متكئين عليها متقابلين يطوف عليهم ولدان مخلدون بأكواب وأباريق وكأس من معين لا يصدعون عنها ولا ينزفون وفاكهة مما يتخيرون ولحم طير مما يشتهون وحور عين كأمثال اللؤلؤ المكنون جزاء بما كانوا يعملون لا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا تأثيما إلا قيلا سلاما سلاما.
محمد وآل محمد. على محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. Brothers and sisters, respected Sheikh Osama, Sayyid Ali, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah, on behalf of the Hadi Institute, we welcome everybody and we're very grateful and happy, inshallah, that everybody was able to make it out. Inshallah, we'll begin our program with a recitation of the Holy Quran, and then we'll get into a little bit of an explanation of, you know, how the program will run after that. So if you guys can help me, please welcome our brother Muhammad Abbas with a loud salat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
صلوات على محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والشمس وضحاها والقمر إذا تلاها والنهار إذا جلاها والليل إذا يغشاها بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والشمس وضحاها والشمس وضحاها والقمر إذا تلاها والنهار إذا جلاها والليل إذا يغشاها والسماء وما بناها والأرض وما طحاها ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها كذب الثمود بطغواها إذ انبعث أشقاها فقال لهم رسول الله ناقة الله وسقياها فكذبوه فعقروها فدمدم عليهم ربهم بذنبهم فسواها فكذبوه فعقروها فدمدم عليهم ربهم بذنبهم فسواها ولا يخاف عقباها صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوات على محمد وآل محمد
أفلح من أعاد الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, respected ulama, once again, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And on behalf of the Hadi Institute, we welcome everybody and again thank everybody for coming out. Just a quick reminder, inshallah, before we continue on with the program. Again, inshallah, we always want the children and the families to be comfortable here at the Hadi Institute. And as Sheikh always says, alhamdulillah, it's truly a blessing from Allah that we have so many youth here present on a consistent basis. We do just want to request for the families, inshallah. If you do kind of notice that maybe your kids are feeling a little bit extra energetic and they maybe need to let off a little bit of steam, to just please use your discretion. If you need to, you know, take them down to the cafeteria or the gym and then, you know, bring them back up a little bit after that, inshallah. If everybody could just kind of try to be mindful of that. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajin farajam. So inshallah, alhamdulillah, we are officially kind of kicking off or inaugurating the newest initiative of the Hadi Institute, which is the Hadi Publications. And we're blessed, inshallah, to be joined by Sayyid Ali, who inshallah will say a little bit more about him and about the special book that has, alhamdulillah, been translated for the English readers. We'll be able to check out a couple of videos and then hear from Sayyid Ali himself and from Sheikh Osama as well. So inshallah, without any further ado, we will show a video about the author of the book that has been translated, as well as a video just about the Hadi Publications initiative in general. So inshallah, we're going to go ahead and play those videos. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. سلام بر خواهران و برادران ارجمند. بزرگواران طالب حقیقت، پویندگان راه حق و حقیقت و جویندگان حقیقت در این عالم، با این همه پیچیدگی، عظمت، نظم و ساختار اعجاب انگیزی که داره، اگر حضور انسان برای دریافت حقیقت و رسیدن به حقیقت نباشه، معنی دیگری براش قابل تصور نیست. همه این عالم با این همه عظمت حاکی از وجود حقیقتی است که مغز و لب و اساس کار عالم اوست، و اگر او نباشه این همه پیچیدگی، این همه عظمت، اینها بی هدف و پوچ، و نمی شود که اون حقیقت برای همیشه مکتوم و پنهان بمانه. یعنی موجودی مثل انسان که قدرت درک فکری و دریافت‌های روحی و قلبی داره بیاد تو این عالم، اما اون حقیقت همچنان مکتوم و پنهان بمونه. اقل قضیه این است که انسان باید به سمت رسیدن به اون حقیقت سیر کنه. رسیدن به حقیقت عالم احتیاج به سیر داره، با سکون، با ایستایی و با بی‌تحرکی نمی‌شود به سمت اون حقیقت حرکت کرد.
Since the beginning, God guided mankind through his holy messengers until the seal, Muhammad, came. Many prophets carried miracles, but the final miracle to supersede them all was not embodied between the two sides of a split ocean, or between the two walls of the ark that would save humanity, but between the two covers of a book, the final revelation to mankind, embedding God's greatest miracle in words. And when the messenger departed, his holy family protected his message until the final imam was hidden in the shadows. It was then that he placed the torch spreading their light, and the hands of pious scholars, generation after generation, the mission and vision lived on to preserve God's religion as is, for a religion that is timeless and eternal and not be diluted by the wishing of the sands of time, or by those who seek to put out the light of God by the winds of their whims. And to remind us, as stated by Imam al-Sadiq, that true knowledge is not merely information and content, but a light that Allah emanates onto the hearts of mankind. Inspired by Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq's preservation of the light of his holy grandfather Muhammad, Hadi Publications strives in pursuit of the true freedom that can only be seen through the light of knowledge. We aim to publish quality content for children and adults alike. Hadi Publications is proud to bring together talented authors, illustrators, and editors to produce captivating stories and insightful content to educate, engage, and enlighten under the cloak of the Prophet Muhammad and the Ahlul Bayt alayhum as-salam. In the vast world of literature, we deliver an unfiltered message and promoting an Islamic worldview to illuminate and pave the path to the Mahdi.
Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Inshallah, now we're going to welcome our dear Sayyid Ali to speak to us a little bit, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, for maybe the most of us, he doesn't need an introduction. However, just in case anybody, inshallah, has not had the opportunity and the blessing to get to know Sayyid Ali Ja'fari, he was born in New York and he grew up here in Michigan. He attended Michigan State University, and then after that he went to the University of Texas Law School. He practiced law for some years over there until 2013, when he moved to Qom with his family and began his Islamic studies in the Hawza of Qom, where he is currently continuing his studies. And the book that inshallah we're going to be discussing today, alhamdulillah, was translated by Sayyid Ali Ja'fari. And then the process of publishing this book was overseen by him as well, in coordination with the brothers and sisters here at the Hadi Institute and under Hadi Publications. Alhamdulillah, it's been a blessing from start to finish, and inshallah, the hope is that, you know, we will all as a community be able to benefit from these efforts. Inshallah, without any further ado, we'll welcome Sayyid Ali Ja'fari to the minbar with three loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم أخرجني من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمني بنور الفهم. اللهم افتح علينا أبواب رحمتك وانشر علينا خزائن علومك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. وصلى الله على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. أما بعد, brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. First of all, for me, it's an honor and a privilege to be here with you, respected brothers and sisters, with the ulama, on what's an extremely happy occasion. It's an occasion where we are starting and launching this beautiful initiative that is the Hadi Publications. Now, I've had the blessed opportunity to be here in the Hadi community for a few months. And oftentimes, I see the children lining up. You know, lining up to go outside for recess, lining up to go home, whatever it is. And it reminded me of something that this beautiful scholar who you all saw, Ustad Hujjatul Islam, was Waziri Fard, something that he once said. And he said this, he said, imagine if you were talking to somebody who was standing in line, and if they said, you know, I'm the first person in line and I'm the last person in line. Now, what would you take from that? It's not a riddle, okay? Just think a little bit, you guys can all get it, inshallah. Okay? It's not like an LSAT question or something. He said, what you would understand if someone says they're the first person in line and the last person in line, it's that they're the only one in line. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in Surah Hadid, chapter 57, verse 3, where he says, when he describes himself, هُوَ الْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرُ وَالظَّاهِرُ وَالْبَاطِنُ. He says he is the first and he is the last. Meaning that he is the only. It's all about him, brothers and sisters. Right? He is all that matters. And as we increase our ma'rifah and understanding and recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who Allah is and what Allah is, then we'll understand that it's not just that it's all that he's all that matters, but it's that he is all that is. And this ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what we're all after, from the beginning of our lives to the end of our lives. This is why we hold the commemorations for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. It's to gain this ma'rifah of Allah, this deep recognition of Allah, this proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's why we start a Montessori, so that our children can gain this deep recognition of Allah. It's why we read Qur'an, and it's why we start the Hadith publications, so that we as individuals, as a community, can begin on that path or continue on that path in our growth in gaining the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you say, okay, Ali, that's good and well, and for you Qumis and you Najafis and, you know, you guys are in the Hawza, yes, you talk about proximity and ma'rifah and all these, you know, nice words, but what about us in America? You know, look at the situation we're in. Look at the people who are around us. Look at the society that we're living in. Are these really the types of people who have that readiness, who have that interest in gaining proximity to Allah, in gaining ma'rifah about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And what I'll say is emphatically yes. That is what the society is thirsty for. That is what the people are ready for. But it doesn't matter what I say. It matters what the Imam of the time says. We have a story from Ayatollah Misbah Yazdi. May Allah bless his soul. For Ayatollah Misbah Yazdi, he said that my teacher was in Mina during Hajj, and he saw the Imam of the time. Ajallahu ta'ala farajah sharif. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And he saw the Imam of the time speaking to different people in the tents of Mina in different languages. Alhamdulillah, we have some of the Hujjaj here today, I see. Inshallah, Allah accepts it and allows us all to be amongst the Hujjaj next year. But Ayatollah Misbah says, my teacher, he saw Imam, he was talking to the Hujjaj in various languages, and then he turned to me. He saw me and he said to me, he said, Chera zaban ha yad nemigirid. He said, why don't you learn languages? Why don't you learn more languages? He said, Mardom tishna astand. He said to him in Farsi, that people are thirsty. They're thirsty for that ma'rifah. And if Imam Mahdi says that the people are thirsty for the ma'rifah, for the deep recognition, for the truth, then that's the truth, brothers and sisters. Whether you and I see it or not, right? Sometimes it might manifest itself with them simply rejecting the falsehood. That's all they can get to before they go to another falsehood, right? But that thirst is there. And it's that thirst that exists within each and every one of us, from the young to the old, from the man to the woman, whoever you are, Christian, Shia, Sunni, whoever you are, it's that thirst and that passion for the truth and for getting that deep recognition of the truth and the ultimate truth, who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why we are here tonight, why we are starting this initiative here at Hadi, so that we can be part of that movement. Okay, so send me a salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Now, we talked a little bit about this point that I'm about to mention in Ramadan when I was here, but I want to reiterate it because of its importance. Now, the book that you are all going to, inshallah, pick up today is a book on self-building. It's a book on improving ourselves. It's a book on gaining nearness to Allah by giving us some practical steps and a practical path to stop sinning, to make sure that we're doing our wajibat, right? So that we can be amongst those elite soldiers of the Imam of the time, as Sheikh Osama always reminds us. But now, some of us, we have this doubt that creeps into our mind. You say, me? Be able to be an elite soldier, an elite helper of the Imam of the time? Me, someone who sinned for all my life? Who continues to sin, who continues to not do my responsibilities, how can someone like me gain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This doubt creeps in our mind. And what we have to remember is that this is nothing but the whispering of the shaytan. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us in the Holy Quran, قُلْ يَا إِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ ذُنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. He says, oh, ya ibadi. And this was the point that we had mentioned a few months ago. Remember I said that if I'm watching my son, for example, and he helps his baby sister, or he helps his mother, or he scores a touchdown on the football field, what do I say? I said, that's my Muhammad. I say, that's my Muhammadi. Right? That ya that's at the end is the ya of nisbah. It's giving a connection between me and him. Right? My name is Ja'fari, because I have a connection between me and Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq. Inshallah, hopefully more than just a physical connection, okay, from a lineage perspective. That's what this ya is. So when Allah is saying, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِي, He's saying, oh my beloved, oh the one who I care about. Right? When we're angry or upset, we say, oh, Muhammad, come here. We don't say Muhammadi at that point, right? So when Allah is speaking to us in the Quran, He's saying it with love. And who is He saying it to? The one who has done excesses against his own soul. The one who has committed excesses against his own soul. The one who has sinned. So He's reminding us, brothers and sisters, that you don't need to be on level 10. We don't need to be amongst the urafa for Allah to be loving us, for Allah to be calling us back. Okay? So it's never too late. Allah says that He forgives all the sins, jami'ah, all of them. Right? So this opportunity is for all of us. Don't pick this book up thinking, yeah, I'm going to gift this to so-and-so person. No, it has to be for ourselves first and foremost, right? We have to believe that we can become better. And the second thing that we see as obstacles sometimes is that we see that I've tried everything, right? We talked about this as well in the month of Ramadan. You say, I've tried everything, right? And now I still can't get better. I'm still making the same mistakes. I still get angry at my children. I still yell at my spouse. I still can't control my eyes. I still can't control my tongue. I'm still hanging out with the wrong people. And so this sometimes becomes an obstacle for us to move forward and develop spiritually. And what here we look at and we remember is this example. That imagine we go to the doctor and we tell the doctor, you know, doctor, I'm suffering from a broken ankle. Okay, and the doctor says, okay, no problem. He says, well, I've got a big problem. I can't get better. And he says, well, what's wrong? He says, I've tried everything. I still can't get better. He says, well, what do you mean? He said, I went to chemotherapy. I went to the dentist. I got a splint put on my neck. You know, I got surgery on my left pinky. He's going to say, bro, what's your problem? You know, you have a problem with your ankle. You need to get a solution for your ankle. That's your problem, is that you've tried everything. Okay? And so the same thing is true when it comes to spirituality and self-building. Sometimes we try everything, right? We see something on Facebook. We see something else. So our friend tells us, recite Surah Yasin 16 and a half times with your left eye closed. You know, all these kinds of things that are going around on social media. Okay? And some of them, alhamdulillah, maybe some of them are true, maybe some of them are not. But the problem is we're all over the place. So that's one of the obstacles that we have to spirituality. Something that, inshallah, here at the Hadi Institute, what Shaykh Usama has done so beautifully, and with his team, it's like an earthquake going on. Allah. Okay? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. See, I see Haj Hassan up there. I know I don't have anything to worry about. Whatever I'm thinking about it, he's already been thinking about it for the last 6 minutes or whatever. Okay? Because I've known him long enough now that I know that's how it works. Okay. So that's one of the beautiful things about the Hadi Institute, is that we are trying, and Shaykh Usama is trying here, to solve problems. We see that there's a problem with education, we're here to solve that problem. We see that here there's a problem with spirituality, we're trying to, through this book, inshallah, and what's going to come after, by way of teaching, solve that problem. Okay? And so that's one of the unique features of this book, is that it's organized. It gives us a practical step-by-step guide. There's another unique feature here that I just want to mention, and then inshallah we will close up. And that is that this book is, alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah, authoritative. It's reliable, and it's trustworthy. And it's authoritative, reliable, and trustworthy, not just in a general sense. You see, we have great scholars, right? You have books that are coming out. Let's say this translation of a book of Imam Khomeini, of, you know, Ayatollah Misbah, of, you know, Ayatollah Munir Khabaz. If you have all these great scholars, we have books coming out of their translations that are authoritative. They're reliable, yes. But the unique feature about this book in particular is that it's reliable and authoritative for you in particular. Now you say, well, what do you mean? This book has been translated and published with the people in this room in particular in mind. There was an extensive, painstaking, and detailed process that went into the translation and the publication of this book. And in the video that you're going to see shortly, that my brother Hassan Salami, may Allah protect him and preserve him, put together, you're going to see it mentioned, and some of you may have seen online, it mentioned that this is a book that has the backing of ulama in the East and the West. All right, so I just want to mention that a little bit, so that when you pick up this book, when you read this book, you understand fully the thought and the care that has went into this project. All right. So first and foremost, this was a book and a project that when I sat back, and the brothers in Qom, we sat back and we thought about some of the problems that people are facing spiritually, and some of the obstacles that they're facing, we didn't just come up and say, hey, let's pick a book. No, what did we do is we went to the greats. We went to the Ayatollah Tahriris and the Ustad Waziri Farts. He doesn't want to be called Ayatollah. And the Ustad Mujahidis and the Ustad Muayyadis and all the greats of our times, the Ayatollah Bahchats of our times, and we went and we sat with them and we explained the problems. We said, look, this is what our society looks like. These are the problems that people are facing, the mu'mineen, with the best of intentions. This is where they're falling short. This is where we're falling short as individuals growing up in the West. Do you have a recommendation? Okay? And this was the book that was recommended, first and foremost. Now, we didn't just stop there. We went and we took it to some of the other urafa around Qom. We said, look, have you read this book? Some of them said, yes, we've read this book. It's a great book. It's good for you in the West. It's not too much. It's okay. You can explain it. You can put footnotes. You can translate this book. Right? There were some of the great scholars who hadn't read the book. They went through the process of reading the book specifically to see if it was appropriate for a Western audience. They read the book and they said, yes, we give you the green light. Okay, so this is number one, scholars of the East. Okay, people, the letter that's written, this book is a letter and it's a commentary. The letter is written by Ayatollah Sa'adat Parvar, may Allah bless his soul. Someone who you're going to see in the book, high praise from Ayatollah Khamenei. Someone who you see that Ayatollah Hassan Zadeh Amuni, Ayatollah Behjet, Ayatollah Khamenei, these were people who were benefiting from his works. One of his books in particular about the Mi'raj, we see that Ayatollah Hassan Zadeh Amuni is the one that convinced him and basically, you know, by pulling his ear saying, you have to publish this book. Because Ayatollah Sa'adat Parvar didn't want to publish it. So this is the person who wrote this letter. The commentary on that letter is written by the individual who you saw above. Right? May Allah protect him and preserve him for us. Right? Ustad Waziri Fard. Just to give you an insight into the ikhlas of this individual. Okay, number one, he was the only person who Ayatollah Sa'adat Parvar, when he was alive, he would trust him with translating his books. His books were written in Arabic. To translate them to Farsi, he would only trust Ustad Waziri Fard. The second point is something I witnessed with my own eyes, is the ikhlas of this individual, the one who wrote this book now, the one who's the author, who wrote this commentary. Once I was praying in the first row behind Ustad Waziri Fard, and after the prayer was done, he turned around and he had tears in his eyes. And he was crying, you know, almost uncontrollably. And some of the brothers, we said, you know, what's wrong? You know, Ustad Sheikh, what's wrong? And he said, I want to give you a gift today. And we said, yes, you know, please, whatever it is. We thought he was going to tell us something, you know, give us some wisdom. He said, this abba that I'm wearing right now is the abba of Imam al-Khomeini. And he said, I want to allow everyone in this jama'at the opportunity to wear this abba. And I kid you not, while all of us took turns wearing the abba, he was continuing to cry. Just thinking of Imam Khomeini and the khidmah that Imam Khomeini had done for the Muslim Ummah. This is the type of person who has written this book. So it has a lot of barakah from this angle. From the perspective of the support of the Western ulama, you will see on the back of the book, and you've seen in some of the statements, that this book has been read by the likes of Sheikh Usama, by the likes of Sayyid Suleiman, by the likes of Sheikh Shuja Ali Mirza, and the list goes on. All in all, there were 10 individuals, maybe 12, if I think more carefully, maybe 12, 10 to 12 ulama from the West who read this book cover to cover. They didn't just read this book and say, Ali, it's a good job. They read this book and they said, fix this. They read this book and they said, change that. Okay? So this is definitely not the product of one person. No. This is a product of a team. Not just for ulama, but the team here at Hadi. Right? We had so much help here. I cannot even begin to thank them, but I'll do that here at the end. But I just wanted to say that what you're looking at in the product, this is not fringe stuff that, you know, okay, certain people within Shia Islam, you know, they think about, you know, spirituality and spiritual wayfaring and stuff like that. No. There have been, through this process, the translation and publication process, the original work had about 40 footnotes. The work that you have in your hand has 170 footnotes. Why? Because we went through, we had lay people read this book. People who have never stepped foot in the hawza and say to us, I don't understand this. I don't understand that. Okay? And then we added a footnote. Okay? So we went through and made sure we added Quran, we added hadith to make sure that anyone who picks up this book, they understand that brothers and sisters, spiritual wayfaring, getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is acting on the sharia. If anybody comes to you and says, do this, do that, and if they're even one iota off of the sharia, the sunnah of the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt, then you know that they're misguided. And that's definitely not what this book is about. It's about the exact opposite. It's about showing us that Shia Islam is about us gaining nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's about us day in and day out getting rid of our negative habits and getting more positive habits. So while I say that, I want to add this, because what I don't like oftentimes is when ulama give one perspective and then they leave it at that. Right? We have to be honest with ourselves, we have to be honest with the community. Okay? I'm in the presence of ulama, I can't try to, you know, put the, you pull a fast one on anyone here today, right? Brothers and sisters, when it comes to any of our Islamic sciences, and in particular spirituality and gaining nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's different perspectives, there's different understandings, right? There's different routes up the mountain. We're all trying to gain the ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's different routes. The route up the mountain that is being displayed and explained in this particular book is from Sayyid Ali Qadi Taba'atabai, for those who are familiar with him, in his school of thought and his understanding. Okay, based on their understanding of Islam, based on their understanding of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Ahlul Bayt. Okay, but that doesn't mean there's not other ways to gain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are other ways, right? But what I'll say here, and this is again my personal 2 cents that I'll add, is that some routes up the mountain are safer, they have been traversed, and they're sturdier. Okay? And so this is one of those routes that we know is tried and tested, and inshallah we will all see results. And that's what's important in this. You know, with Hadi publications and with any of the beautiful, you know, Islamic publishers that we have, we don't measure success by how many books we sell. We measure success by how many of us act on the books. That's what's important. If this book goes home and sits on your shelf and collects dust, it has no value. Okay, we haven't done our job, right? As individuals and as a community, right? This has got to be something that we act on. And I speak to myself first. As someone who's read this book now, I could easily say over 50 times, I will tell you that there's still much of it that I haven't mastered and that I need to implement, you know? So here I'm going to close, because this was a project that, you know, has had so much help over the last 3 years. You know, we have a saying from the Holy Prophet, "Man lam yashkur an-nas lam yashkur Allah." The one who doesn't thank the people hasn't thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So first and foremost, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is tawfiq for me personally, for all of us, for the Hadi family, for the Hadi team, for everyone in this room. It's tawfiq that we're here at, inshallah, what is going to be remembered as a historic event, not just for this community, but inshallah for the society in the West in general, when it comes to Hadi publications. So we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. And we ask him to increase that blessing for us. You know, next, I want to spend a moment to really thank my teacher here in attendance, Sheikh Osama Abdel Ghani, who I've benefited so much from over the past 5 months, and in fact over the past 10 years that I've known him and that I've been involved in Islamic studies. He's been so intricate to my development. And I can just say, I couldn't have asked for a better mentor and a better, you know, helper and a better guide during this process. I know when I came here, you know, I promised him I was going to be sitting right here, you know, and taking the burden off him many times. And I've only been up here, maybe I can count it on one hand. And that's 100% because of my own shortcomings. But more than that, it was because I was prioritizing my studies and I was prioritizing this project. Never once did he make me, you know, feel any way other than, hey, you do your duty. And he's been so gracious, and I've learned so much about, you know, servitude and how to serve a community through him. So please send a salawat for him and his family. And I know if I look at this next brother right now, he's going to be pointing to his watch, Brother Ahmed Sharara, but I have to mention him by name and thank him for all he's done over these last few months. And I'm just going to mention the whole team here, because really none of this would have been possible without them. Sister Sara Own, Sister Maryam Sharara, Brother Tariq Bazi, Sister Sahar Jabir, Brother Hassan Salami, and Sister Sakina Abedin. Please send a loud salawat for all of them. Finally, I want to extend my own personal gratitude to my parents, my mother and my father, for all their support. And that's a whole nother speech, inshallah, someday. And, you know, to my wife, who, you know, was with me when I was being put into, you know, Farsi spelling classes because I was a bad speller, you know, and she would sit there and she would tutor me. And she's been with me, you know, through all of those difficulties, and I want to thank her and, you know, gift any reward that comes from this day to her. And again, my brother Muhammad, who, if it was not for him, you know, I never would have been in the Hawza. I thank him and, you know, everyone who was involved in this project. And, you know, finally, there's one person who I want to thank, and I think I haven't mentioned this to anybody before, and that's Shaheed Ibrahim Hadi. And that's because this project would not have started if it wasn't for Shaheed Ibrahim Hadi. The book that you see in the hallway is the translation of the life of Shaheed Ibrahim Hadi. So I was sitting in a library in Qom, in a very hot library in Qom, you know, maybe 7 or 8 years ago. And I noticed a young youth, 16 years old, 17 years old. He was a few years, you know, younger than me in the Hawza. I noticed him typing away. And I said, "Brother, what are you doing?" And he said, "I am translating the life story of Shaheed Ibrahim Hadi." And I was so moved and motivated by this youth who at that time didn't have a full beard and who now has a turban on his head, that he was spending his time, his free time, translating, that it stuck in my mind that I need to prioritize this. It's a responsibility. And so again, this shows us once again, brothers and sisters, the barakah of the shuhada, that the blood of the shuhada never goes in vain, and it's a gift that keeps on giving. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the pure blood of Shaheed Ibrahim Hadi to make us of those who act on the words in this book. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sake of the pure blood of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn to guide us, to guide our children, and to guide all of those people living around us in society towards that ma'rifah and that deep insight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sake of Fatima al-Zahra to hasten the reappearance of the Imam and to make us his helpers when he comes. Wa akhira da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
In a world where darkness and confusion have overtaken us, it seems that there are endless paths in life whose end is unclear. So many ideas shared, an influx of information, oversaturation, and ignorance fill the air. So we do our best to find our way, picking and choosing our ideas and actions from everywhere. We become lost, walking blindly without a map, leaving us in the labyrinth until God sends his pure servants to take our hand, to guide us back to the path of serenity and overcome our fears. What if I told you there was a book that explained the secrets of transcending this dark road and told you how to steer, to navigate the spiritual path practically, and brought lofty concepts near? Not pseudo-spirituality, but a book from the greatest scholars of Ahlul Bayt, giving practical instructions that are clear, which they say themselves will allow you to ascend 100 years in just one. And if you follow these 13 steps, God, inshallah, will take care of the rest. Hadi Institute is proud to present, in its first publication, recommended and approved by pious and credible scholars of the East and the West, The Etiquettes of Spiritual Wayfaring and the Journey to God.
عاد الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد. A very quick announcement. I should have mentioned it earlier. Inshallah, after the end of the program with our dear and respected Sheikh Osama's speech, we will have some refreshments and, you know, small snacks to serve after, and brothers and sisters can hang out and socialize, inshallah, and we can get that barakah as well. It's my honor, inshallah, to welcome our dear Sheikh Osama to the mimbar as well with three loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah, we are blessed by the presence of several of the ulama. We also have houses students, and we also have, inshallah, future houses students. So they're here with us, and inshallah, the work that began so long ago will be continued by those brothers, their families, and all of those who support them, inshallah. Now, before I begin my brief talk, I'd like to congratulate each and every one of you, mu'mineen and mu'minat, on Eid al-Mubahala. This Eid that's on its way is a very special day of great spiritual significance. So brothers and sisters, if we have the tawfiq, if Allah gives us the tawfiq and blesses us, then there is a ghusl for tomorrow, inshallah, if somebody is able to. These are found in Mafatihul Jannah. If we want to take advantage of this spiritual day, there is a wonderful dua, the dua of Mubahala. So inshallah, we will take this time to benefit spiritually from this day. As parents, as big brothers, as big sisters, will remind our children, the most valuable and vulnerable, of what happened on this day. That verse when it was revealed. And what are some of those great lessons that we get when the Prophet took his most valuable human resources and put everything on the line to establish the truth? Inshallah, we will kind of remind ourselves of that, but inshallah, that's for tomorrow. So I congratulate all of you, but of course, I don't want to only congratulate you all. I also want to congratulate our Ummah, our esteemed Maraja, our leader, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, and of course, most importantly, our master, Sahib al-Zaman. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Now, personally, I couldn't be happier, and I consider it the tawfiq of Allah that Allah made this the first book that the Hadi Institute has the honor of publishing. Allah brought many things together, and I want to thank the entire team, of course, especially our dear Sayyid, for this effort, and really Allah, that he could have made it more difficult, but when I look at the team, the videos, the effort that went into producing this, I really hope that we're able to do that mission that the brothers and sisters set out with, which was to deliver that unfiltered message of true Islam as it is, and what better way than a book on true Islamic spirituality and the ma'rifah of Allah, which is what we're all after. Now, what I'd like to say are a few points about the original author. The original author, marhum Ayatollah Sa'adat Parvar. I think that it's nice for you and I to know just who this man was. Because as you know, the book is his letter, which was then the commentary by the Ustad. He went and made commentary on the original letter. But I'd like us to kind of know who that first person was, and then to see what are some lessons we can get from his life when we kind of try to, in our own way, continue this path. But first I would need a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Now, in order for us to truly appreciate this incredible individual and his efforts, it's necessary for us to take a step back and remind ourselves of the mission of the Anbiya, the vision and mission of the A'imma, because we consider our Imams, and of course, the final prophet, the greatest prophet, to be a continuum of that message and that mission that began with Nabiyana Adam alayhi salam. So what was their strategy? What was their vision? What were they trying to do? And if we can remind ourselves of that, and of course those are many of the ayat of the Quran, I want to summarize it in 2 or 3 minutes, but just kind of us to remind ourselves of that, and then after that to look at the life of Ayatollah Sa'adat Parvar, and then to see, where do we fit in? Where does this book fit in? What are some of the sacrifices and the services that he offered to the cause? So when we look at the big picture strategy of the Anbiya, this includes all of the prophets, and of course our prophet, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. We see that the overall goal, that final goal that the prophets had, were to take us, human beings, mankind, and to turn us into true human beings. They wanted us to reach the pinnacle of human perfection, to become godly, and to manifest Allah's greatest names in our corporal lives, in our worldly lives, in our interactions with one another. The job of the prophets was to train us, to teach us. The words of the Quran that they use were tazkiyah, right? They wanted to purify us. They wanted to do ta'aleem of us. And these are many ayat of the Quran. I'm trying to summarize. Their goal was that. They were trying to get to that. They wanted to bring us to God. Indeed, they wanted to bring all of mankind, to help everyone to be able to experience Allah's best in this world, and then that, after that, in the hereafter. How, though? How would the Anbiya perform this tremendous task? Was the job of the Anbiya that they would sit with individuals, that they would start with anybody they could find and just sit with individuals and try to train them one-on-one and talk to them. And after they had turned one into being a true human being, then to move to another and try and train him to be a true human being. And then that way, and to move that way. Did they set up schools? Did they engage? Did they withdraw themselves from society? What was their method? Let's try and see what their method was. And then after that, then we see what our strategy should be, and also the contributions of this great individual. So when you look at the method of the Anbiya, you see that one of the things that they would try to do in order to accomplish this task of training all of us to be insan, to reflect Allah's names, is that all of them work to establish divine societies, societies that were based on Tawheed. In order to do this, in order to bring us to perfection, in order to make us reflect the names of Allah, I mean, the verse of the Quran is very clear. Allah wali ladina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. Amirul Mu'mineen tells us the job of the Anbiya was that they would help us to discover those hidden talents that are buried in each and every one of us. Amirul Mu'mineen, wa yuthiru lahum dafa'in al-uqul. They would unearth those buried intellects, buried talents, abilities. They would change us from being wild animals into being human beings that, when you look at the words of our scholars, they say the greatest miracle of the Anbiya wasn't splitting the moon, for instance. It wasn't that they would have a red-haired camel come out of the mountain. Rather, it was taking human beings And have these become the greatest manifestation of all of the ayat or all of the names of God. So how would they do that? The job would be that they would create divine societies. They would face off against the tawaghit. The obstacle to human beings experiencing Allah's best were the tawaghit. And the anbiya would rise up and they would fight them. They would lead revolutions. The anbiya, brothers and sisters, our image of the anbiya that we get from the Quran is not that the nabi is someone who's off in the hills, off in the mountains. Rather, the anbiya were in the trenches, going up against the most savage of the tawaghi. The anbiya, many of them were shuhada. I mean, one of the verses of the Quran. So this is Surah 3 and verse number 146. Allah says, وَكَأَيِّن مِن نَبِيٍ. How many of the anbiya were like this? وَكَأَيِّن مِن نَبِيٍ قَاتَلَ مَعْهُ رِبِّيُّونَ كَثِيرٌ. Godly, a multitude of godly individuals would be fighting alongside this Nabi. He would take on the Fir'auns, the Nimruds, the shimmers of the time. The Tawaghit, like now we have, I mean, it's hard to call him a Tawghut because you don't know if he's in his right mind or not, right? Biden. Right? But all the other Tawaghit who are all around, the system of the Tawghut, the Yazid of the time, the anbiya would go against them and they would lead and they would be in the trenches. I want to talk a little bit about what the anbiya were like. The idea though was that the anbiya would create these godly societies. Once they created the godly societies, that fertile environment, you could mass produce insan kamil. Why did the nabi fight for those long years in Mecca, resist, and under incredible circumstances, later moved to Medina, established a godly society, was to create insan kamil, so that people, because tazkiyah and ta'aleem would be easy once you had established the society and you'd taken away the tawaghi. In order to do that, so again, we remember the principle, establishing the divine societies, because I want to help people become true insan, in order to do that, they would engage in another process. That would be, they would spend time cultivating relationships with believers, mu'mineen and mu'minat, and building human pillars. This mission of the anbiya, creating the divine society, would be based on true human pillars. There would be one-on-one training, but when the society was created, you could mass produce these wonderful individuals. So there was one-on-one training. That would be the Meccan period for our Prophet. After that, in Medina, you establish a divine society. And then after that, the rest takes over. So, now, let's remind ourselves of this man, Ayatollah Sa'adat Parvar. Remember, this is a line of Irfan heavily praised by the leader. Inshallah, when you look at the book, you'll see his message of condolence. He says these ulama were top-tier mujtahids, the ones who, the chain that Sayyid referred to, top-tier scholars. These individuals, you'll see there's videos, maybe some of you have seen the videos online, where the leader is talking about this paragon of virtue, explaining who this man, this wonderful man, is. Now, I want to ask a couple of questions, and then after that, inshallah, we'll move. So inshallah, we haven't forgotten the method of the anbiya. What was the connection and relationship like between Ayatollah Sa'adat Parvar and Imam Khomeini? The revolution, creating the divine society. What are the contributions of some of his students right now? Was he or was he not involved when Islam took you to be in the trenches? Right? We want to understand, we want to practically say, well, what is it that we get from this man? How is now, inshallah, his soul still benefiting? Even over here, we're in the belly of the beast. Who was this man? So, there's a concept, before I mention that, there's another concept to keep in mind. The anbiya, Shaykh Qasim Soleimani reminds us, and may Allah bless him and raise him with the anbiya. He says the method of leading of our shuhada, and they got it from our ulama, from our urafa. He says that it was what we call imamate and not hidayah. Shaykh Qasim Soleimani, he says, in hidayah, it's that I'm pointing you in a direction. Brothers, go over there, do your responsibilities. I'm pointing. He says that the way of the shuhada was imamate. What's imamate? What's the difference between hidayah and imama? It's when the person leads by example. Verse of the Quran. This is about the prophets. After that, let's look at Ayatul Sa'adat Parva. Amana ar-rasul bima unzila ilayhi min rabbihi wal mu'minun. Amana ar-rasul. The prophets believed in the mission. Our prophet, Mubahala. We're going to sacrifice all of your human resources. The prophet chooses his own. Amirul Mu'mineen, Sayyidah Fatima, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein. They will go and teach all of this lesson. When it comes to the truth, when it comes to Islam, we sacrifice everyone. With our ulama, who are the students of these individuals, you see the same thing. When it came to the sacred defense, when it came to defending the revolution, creating the divine society, percentage-wise, ulama gave more shuhada than any other segment of society. We're talking about mujtahideen, who went and laid their lives down. They still haven't gotten to Ayatollah Sa'adat Parvar yet. Right? You see, the leader himself, when he finally got that permission from Imam Khomeini to go to the battlefront, he thought he was never going to return. He's the sitting president. His sons are fighting on the front line. Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, when his son was martyred, then he says, now I can raise my head and look at the families of the shuhada and look them in the eyes. Amana Rasul. What was Ayatollah Sa'adat Parvar, his relationship with Imam Khomeini, with the mission, with the cause, when he was in the trenches? You hear from his senior students that although this man is mujtahid, muhaqqiq, Ayatollah Hassan Zari Amali saying, this book needs to be published. When it came to the political struggle, they say he was a follower and a muqallid of Imam Khomeini. This man, he was so attached to Imam Khomeini that after the death, the sad demise of Imam Khomeini, his health took a serious toll. His health, he went downhill after that. So attached. His instructions, his spiritual teachings, if you didn't accept the revolution, he wouldn't even take you as a student. This kind of an individual. His students, I'm talking about the top tier, I'm not going to mention their names, the top tier students, they had instructions from him on how to do muraqabah in the battlefield. So when it came to, again, the principle, building the divine society, being in the trenches, we're talking about somebody who was like that. After that, the ta'lim and tazkiyah, right? Because you have to make human pillars. That has to happen. That has to function. He practically, his students now, and I mentioned a little bit about the contributions of some of his students just so we know this man better. You see them practically on television, maintaining that level of ikhlas. This man is someone so much zuhd, the leader talks about, so unattached to the dunya. He says that he tried to, one of his relatives tried to invite Ayatollah Sa'adat Parvar, was doing in Mashhad, performing ziyarah. He said, why don't you come outside of Mashhad for a little while? He said, so you can go over and inshallah, it's very hot in Mashhad. And the Ayatollah, who saw himself as nothing when it came to Ahlul Bayt, he said, I'm afraid if I leave the area of Imam Ridha, maybe the Imam will pass something out and I won't be there to get it. That person, his students, you see them teaching the Islamic Revolutionary Guard. You see them in the office of the leader. You see them setting up houses. Is it the Arif is running away from the woods? You see them taking tough political stances because of the self-purification. So this individual, is someone who followed that path of the Anbiya that I told you was laid out in the ayat of the Quran. He helped and is still helping. Even now, we're the farthest reaches of the Islamic resistance, right? We're trying to liberate the globe. We're doing our responsibility over here. And even us here in the belly of the beast, after the death of Ayatollah Saadat Parvar, we're still benefiting from his books. This just lets us know a little bit about who this man was and what he did. I hope that brothers and sisters, inshallah, you can... Oh, one last point. Because some of our brothers and sisters will be heading over to the Hawza. Something that Imam Khomeini said is really important for us to keep in mind. Imam Khomeini mentioned, he said that if we don't engage in self-building and have a spiritual teacher, he says the imama and the beard will become a hijab. I hope we can all take that lesson of practical self-building that we learned from Imam Khomeini, but please join me in reciting for the soul of Ayatollah Saadat Parvar, Surah Al-Fatiha and 3 Qul Huwallahu Ahad, but preceded by Salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Thank you, Sayyid Ali, Sheikh Osama. Thank you to all of the brothers and sisters for coming out. As we mentioned, inshallah, downstairs we're going to have some refreshments and some snacks, and the brothers and sisters will be able to socialize with each other, as well as, inshallah, speak to all of the ulama who are present. The books will also be downstairs, so whoever pre-ordered the book will be able to pick it up, and then if anybody wanted to purchase it right now, there are also copies available to be purchased right now. We're just gonna ask, inshallah, for the brothers to head down first, and then to try to head down a little bit quickly, inshallah, so that the sisters can make their way downstairs after. That way we can avoid some congestion over there at the exit from the hall. Thank you again, and sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. إذا وقعت الواقعة ليس لوقعتها كاذبة خافضة رافعة إذا رجت الأرض رجا وبست الجبال بسا فكانت هباء منبثا وكنتم أزواجا ثلاثة فأصحاب الميمنة ما أصحاب الميمنة وأصحاب المشأمة ما أصحاب المشأمة والسابقون السابقون أولئك المقربون في جنات النعيم ثلة من الأولين وقليل من الآخرين على سرر موضونة متكئين عليها متقابلين يطوف عليهم ولدان مخلدون بأكواب وأباريق وكأس من معين لا يصدعون عنها ولا ينزفون وفاكهة مما يتخيرون ولحم طير مما يشتهون وحور عين كأمثال اللؤلؤ المكنون جزاء بما كانوا يعملون لا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا تأثيما إلا قيلا سلاما سلاما وأصحاب اليمين ما أصحاب اليمين في سدر مخضود وطلح منضود وظل ممدود وماء مسكوب وفاكهة كثيرة لا مقطوعة ولا ممنوعة وفرش مرفوعة إنا أنشأناهن إنشاء فجعلناهن أبكارا عربا أترابا لأصحاب اليمين.